You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Very quickly, Pete Alonso spoke today on Zoom to the media. He had shut down his social media accounts, and here's the reason why. Quote, "I think that real life is just absolutely fantastic. I just want to live in real life." What a novel thought.
Well, this is what just happened for me is the biggest news of the show.
What's that?
I need the breaking news sounder. This is big. So, as you and I saw on Twitter, Michael, there was some hubbub about my Nation of Domination shirt.
Well, just from one person.
No, a handful of people, but it's okay. So I posted a picture of the shirt, and I said, my Nation of Domination shirt is ruffling some feathers, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, by the way, this is amazing. And I added Mark Henry, The Rock, D'Lo Brown, Savio Vega, all guys who were in the Nation of Domination. The Rock replied.
No way.
He did. He wrote, "That's one of my fave shirts and literally have WWE combing their archives for some more to send me. Well done, Pete. Also, that was the defining moment that sparked my career. Forever grateful to Godfather, D'Lo, and Mark, especially OG Ron for blessing it and Vince for the trust."
Wow. So you've now reached the top. You've reached the mountain.
I quit. He called me Pete. I'm out. What else is there to do?
I don't even call you Pete.
Does Nobody he follow you Pete. On Twitter?
No.
Oh.
Wow. Wow, this is big. Maybe you get a gig on the Rock show on NBC.
I love Young Rock. I've been adding him about the show for weeks. I love it that much. Wow, what a moment.
That is a big moment.
All because of the annoying haters who freaked out about my shirt. Thank you.
Yeah, they thought it was something that it's not. I mean, really, really noses out of joint on that.
People, oh they God. See a black fist and get really crazy. Interesting.
Wow, it's just a wrestling shirt. All right,
so
by the way.
What's the deal with Alonzo, though? What, like... So he had to get off of social media?
Yeah.
But fans enjoy him on social media.
Well, but, you know, he wants to I'll tell you what. The fact that we're on social media, it takes away from life. You know, you're looking at your phone. You're digesting. If that stuff wasn't there for you to do, you might live. You might do something. He's right. Good for him. Good for such a young man to get it. I got to tell you one other thing. It seems like there's a word going around at the mothership in Bristol. You come on the show, you bring A game. I think that Adam Schefter, with that one appearance, might have just busted himself into the top five. He had never been considered in the top five. That was his best appearance he ever had on the show.
He was fantastic.
Fantastic. The information he was given. I don't think he wanted to get off. He did not want to get off the air. He was enjoying himself.
We are wonderful to talk to.
Yeah, we really are.
But even he can't really come up with enough clarity on this Watson-Houston thing. Like, I maybe it's just the case that there's just too many reasons to mention. Right?
It could be. I just think it's, if you had to make a headline, lack of respect.
But it's really the lack of respect of, yeah, we'll listen to you. We'll have you have input. What would you like us to do? And then immediately do the opposite.
Right, ignore it.
It's kind of like the story we tell, which is a true story. When Tim McCarthy took us into his office and said about hiring Peter Rosenberg, and we both said, no, we don't want to do it. And Tim goes, well, we were doing it. Right? It's almost like the Texans said, okay.
You know what, you can leave.
Right, that was what was said. So there was never any question where we stood. And that was fine. But I think what happened in Houston is they called him to the office. They asked him, would you hire Peter Rosenberg? No. And then they go, okay, thank you. He walked out of the office, and they immediately hired Peter. Like, so that would be disrespectful. Like, I never – I didn't I didn't feel disrespected by Tim. I just knew my role. But imagine being told that you're kind of an equal, that you're involved, and then 3 seconds after you leave the office, they disregard everything you said and do the opposite.
That's
the disrespect.
I don't know how you guys feel, but we already knew sort of the genesis of the whole thing. But hearing the way Schefter put it and the way that he said it with his own sort of judgment of it, it really made me feel, in the words of Michael Kay, that the Texans don't have a kick coming. They don't. They were made clear what he wanted. And while, yes, and Adam made a really good point here, while he may have in fact signed after Hopkins was traded for a dollar and some envelopes, it continued to get worse. And so that changed his feelings. It is fair game.
The one thing that he loses me, though, and I know I bang up against other people on this, don't sign the contract. That's the thing that doesn't make him look totally upstanding, because they traded Hopkins before he signed that deal. Right. But he wanted that guaranteed money. He wanted it. But he was going to deal with it afterward.
But let me play devil's advocate on that. All right? His best wide receiver gets dealt. He doesn't like the direction the organization is going. He was almost involved in a walkout for what the former owner had said. So he's kind of in a bad place with the organization. But he gets offered a contract, guaranteed, no trade clause. It's too good to pass up. And he weighs his pros and cons and says, you know what? Yeah, it's not great here, but I think I can make it work. All right? But then things continue to get bad in what ends up being an awful season. And as you heard Adam say, money doesn't mean anything to this kid. He grew up with it, without it. He's set with the money he's already made. What if he went into that office and said, listen, I know I signed a contract with you, but I want to be more involved here. And if you don't allow me to be more involved, I will walk. I will not play for you again. And they say to him, no, don't worry about it. Deshaun, we got your back. Don't worry about it. We'll make you involved. And then 3 seconds later, they don't make him involved. And now he probably feels like, hey, I told him. Now I'm going to do it. And if it was laid out that way, Michael, wouldn't you then understand it? That he was willing to throw away that contract to get the power he was looking for. And once they lied to him, then he just could not stand it anymore.
But they already had the near walkout in Seattle that Adam spoke about. So you knew that the thing was toxic. Then they trade Hopkins for a second-round pick, which is embarrassing when you see the year that Hopkins had with the Cardinals. And he still signed the deal. But it just takes the halo away. He's a great guy. But in this case, I'm going to take the money, but you can't mention the toxic atmosphere from the walkout in Seattle. You can't mention the Hopkins thing as things that are driving you to do this. You can't.
But I understand that, Michael. But things were going to change because the guy.
Well, you're just guessing that this happened.
We're all guessing on everything.
But the thing that we do know is that they asked him for input on the GM search. He gave it to them and they ignored it. That's where I think it comes from.
Well, of course, but so we know that, right? So think about it. They trade Hopkins away. Well, the guy that traded him away is gone, all right? The owner that said the deplorable thing about the inmates running the prison died. So he's now seeing, all right, things are about to change. We're getting a new general manager in here, all right? We've got new ownership. So I feel like a lot of the things that bothered me before, there's a time for it to change. And I've been promised that I'll be involved in those new moves. And then he's not. And that was the last straw. So a lot of the things that ticked him off before, they're all changed now because those guys are gone. New regime, new attitude, new feel. And now he's involved. And now he can have a say on who the next general manager is, which is the de facto way of having a say who the next head coach is going to be. And he could be more involved as a star on the team and the face of the franchise. And then 3 seconds after, and that's why I think this Easterby thing is great, is important, because I don't think he trusts him, because Easterby has the ears of all the important people. And I think for some reason he felt like that guy was going to be extracted. Maybe not fired, but they wouldn't listen to him. And there's a report that he was on the plane to New England. Well, that's a slap in the face to Deshaun, because he thought maybe he'd be on the plane to New England. So you can kind of understand how that kind of balances out the signing of the contract. You see what I'm saying, Peter?
Yeah, I do. It makes a lot more sense to me. I don't know why, because we've heard it before, but it sort of crystallizes it. And I just don't feel for them.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out. We'll hear from you about this, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
I was fascinated by what you reported, the rumors about Russell Wilson being unhappy in Seattle, and then you get a hold of his agent and said, well, he doesn't want to be traded. But if he did want to be traded, these are the four teams. I mean, that is so weird to me. Is that just passive-aggressive?
To me, it's a backhanded way of saying, I love it in Seattle, but I'm good with these places, which tells you that there are issues. Again, nobody said this to me, but me reading between the lines, The Athletic did a long piece on Russell Wilson, very well done, with some information about how Russell Wilson told the Seahawks that the places he would go would be Miami and the Jets. And there were four teams listed, but a couple of them were wrong. And I think Russell Wilson read that and, like, if they're going to talk about my information, I'm going to talk about my information. And I'm going to lay it out the way it is. Here are the places that I would like to get traded to. You want to do this? I can do it, too.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, there are always active NFL off seasons, but the quality of player and the name involved this year just lends a different air to it. You know, J.J. Watt is out, you know, checking out teams that he wants to go to. You know, offers in the $15 to $16 million range. Matthew Stafford has been traded. Jared Goff has been traded. Carson Wentz has been traded. Russell Wilson's unhappy. Deshaun Watson is really unhappy. I mean, these are huge names. Cowboys still haven't signed Dak Prescott. On and on and on we go. The Jets, are they going to take a quarterback with the second pick? Is it going to be Zach Wilson? The fact that Zach Wilson was not named the captain of his team. His uncle is the owner of JetBlue. He's a spoiled kid from a very rich family. Is that going to affect him? Blah, 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 blah. And then Sam Darnold, where does he end up? Everybody loves him. Could the Jets get a first rounder for him? Could they get a second? It's mind-boggling. Well, it's overwhelming, the information that's coming wave after wave at you.
And it's not something that was, like, designed by the league, but, you know, that this is what makes it so much fun, and that's why the sport is so dominant, because even after the Super Bowl, we're 2 weeks removed from the Super Bowl, there's not even a lull. Like, football is still a topic of conversation. Usually, you'd get a few little bits of news here and there, but you kind of wait until the draft, and then you analyze the draft, and then you're dormant again until the preseason starts or when the schedule comes out or whatever. All we've done is been able to talk footballs because there's been so much to talk about, and it involves, you know, the New York Jets. And it sounds like, and Adam said, they're in a great spot because they've got a lot of choices. They could take Wilson. They can, if they want, they could be in on Watson and maybe have the best chance to get him as far as the package is concerned. They can keep their quarterback and trade down and draft the best tight end to come out of football since Mike Ditka.
Is that really what they're saying? They're only in a great spot, Don, under these circumstances. If they love Zach Wilson or they love Sam. Because they're not in any spot with Watson. So if they don't love either of them, if they don't love Sam and they don't love Zach Wilson, yeah, you don't have to pick a quarterback there. And I'm assuming they don't like Trey Lance and they don't like Justin Fields. If they're not in love with a quarterback, they're not in a great spot.
And they're not
in a great spot.
And they're not a team that's close enough to winning where they can just bring in a veteran who could maybe get the job done.
Right.
They need to start.
Right, you're not going to bring in Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't make sense.
There's speculation, you know, maybe Cam still could do something on a different team. He didn't have any talent last year. They can't do that. This team can't do that. They can't bring in a game manager. They need to find their future.
Right. And I find it very difficult to believe that they wouldn't be in on either Sam or Wilson or Fields, because Fields could be in the conversation. I mean, how do you not like any of the quarterbacks?
Could be. I mean, again, that's the only way that they're not in a great situation.
Well,
I mean, Jeremy,
if that's the case, then you go another year with Sam, and then you try to get him some weapons. Then you maybe make that deal with Atlanta. Pitts, apparently, Peters is the best. If a tight end is taking a fourth, that's the highest anybody's ever taken a tight end. So
now somebody said, so you would know this, Don. Somebody tweeted me the other day that Kyle Brady was also the fourth pick. I'm not sure if that's true.
I thought he was the eighth. I went through it all. I thought Ditka was the highest at five, and then it was Kellen Winslow Jr. and Vernon Davis that were the sixth overall pick.
Yeah, because I heard four would be the highest, but this guy on Twitter said, you know, but, you know, Twitter could be wrong. Oh, he's
never.
Ninth. He was ninth. Okay. Yeah. Andrew just said he was ninth. Here is our very own Jeremy Fowler on DCR. Where are the Jets with Darnold?
You know, right now they have a kind of a three-tiered plan, right? They're monitoring Deshaun Watson. They're still considering keeping Sam Darnold, and they're looking hard at all the quarterbacks. They haven't made their full determination on the quarterbacks, but I think when it's done, they will fall on one of them. You know, I know they do like Zach Wilson from BYU, but they still haven't met with these quarterbacks as a team and gone to the pro days and all that, but I could see that happening where you take a guy like Wilson on a cheap rookie contract, guaranteed for at least 3 or 4 years, and you can build around him with all the draft picks you have. That, to me, is the most likely path. But I know that the coaches there are intrigued by coaching Sam Darnold, too. They believe that he has a lot of untapped ability. So if they get, you know, a late first-round pick or a day two pick for Darnold, that's where I could see them moving sometime in April. But they're in no rush.
Can I be honest, and this isn't going to sound – I don't believe anybody. I think the Jets are playing it close to the vest. I think people are just guessing. Do they – there are coaches that love him. I mean, do they love him or not? If they love him, it's a no-brainer.
The only slip-up we saw from the Jets was on social media with the mock draft a couple of weeks ago, where they left the quote in that Wilson would be tough to pass up. Other than that, we've heard nothing from the Jets as far as their love for Sam or their love for Wilson or what they're going to do. But still, it's the best position to be in for a team that needs a quarterback. What if you're Chicago? You can't draft one, right? So you're not in as good a position for the Jets unless you think you can get Watson. San Francisco, same thing. You can't draft is not an option. Is an option. Chicago doesn't have a quarterback. They can't stick with the guy they have. I think San Francisco, I guess, could, but who of the other teams have as many options as the Jets have? Now they may not all turn out to be great at the end of the day, but keeping Sam, drafting Wilson, they don't have to do anything to keep the quarterback they have. They don't have to do anything to take a quarterback at number two. They don't have to trade up to get it. They got the two pick. So they're in a very, very unique position.
All the prognosticating on the Jets situation to me reeks. I don't know if you guys feel this way, of the Peyton Manning. He's going to Miami because he has a house in Florida. It's like people are reading tea leaves. I don't think people are getting Robert Saleh on the phone, and he's telling them what they think. And Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas, I think, is a pretty good poker player. I don't think he's leaking out what he wants to do.
Well, the only thing I'd say that's different about that and the Peyton thing is Peyton were grasping at these straws of, well, he has a house in Miami or this. I think people are just giving their opinion. If you're high on Wilson and you think Wilson is going to be a great quarterback, then your opinion will be that the Jets are going to take Wilson at two. If you're Dan Orlovsky who thinks that there's all this untapped potential in Sam, then you're going to probably predict they're going to hold on to Sam. You know, so I think they're motivated by how they personally feel about the quarterbacks. But do we know how Saleh feels? We had Joe Douglas on, and he did throw out that the $25 million is a big consideration. So
now, in terms of that, Rich Cimini was listening to the show yesterday and actually called in and said we were right before the pandemic that the extra year would cost $25. But because the salary cap is low, has been lowered to $180, that year, the salary cap for Sam would mean that I have to pay him $19 million. So you might say, well, that's a $6 million drop, but not really because you're losing money at the cap that you thought you would have had. So the $25 would have meant the same with like a $210 million cap rather than a $180. So the number now is $19 if they keep Sam after this year.
All right, well,
clarify that.
It's not insignificant, but again, if you believe in Sam, that's a pittance, right?
Yeah.
If you believe Sam's got this untapped potential and all I have to do is get a better coaching and more weapons, which I'm totally capable of doing, I got a brand new coach and I've got all this cap space and I've got all these draft picks, then the $19 million is nothing to pay what could turn out to be, as Todd McShay predicted, a quarterback that could be a top seven quarterback in this league. Now, eventually you're going to have to pay him more than that, but that would be less of a consideration. If you're considering it, Michael, that $19 million is enough for you to cut bait, then cut bait.
Right. Right, because if you have a, if you think he's the quarterback, that's nothing. I mean, you also have to then sign into a big contract after that. Now, the other story that happened during the show, Nets announced that Kevin Durant is out until after the All-Star break with the hamstring situation, and this was something that they said was not going to be a long-term thing. He was definitely going to be back, Steve Nash said, before the All-Star break. So when this time is over, after the All-Star break, he would have played in fewer than half their games. But they continue to roll on, 8 in a row, the longest streak in the NBA this year, and James Harden is showing you how great a player he is. Now, for those NBA fans that watch every single game, you knew. But for those that just watch the Rockets when the Knicks or the Nets played them, I'll tell you what, you get a different appreciation for what this guy's about. Now, maybe he's upped his game. Maybe he's not dribble, 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 shoot, because he is distributing in a big way. Jeff Van Gundy was on the KJZ show today, and he had high praise for James Harden.
I think that we need to revamp our awards in the NBA. I think there should be a best player award. Like, who's the best player? Forget all the MVP, because then it gets all misconstrued. Who do you think the best player is? Who's been the best player this year? And there's a number of guys having really good years. I'll tell you who's climbing the charts is James Harden again. Like, James Harden, I don't know how you guys felt about how he got his way to Brooklyn, but the way he's playing, he just reminds you of why they were so good for so long. You know, like, he is just a spectacular player. He scores, he passes, he's got great hands defensively, even though he's not a great defender, but he can steal the ball. He's got good anticipation. I mean, the guy has been on a mesmerizing roll right now.
He really has. He and Irving have melded very well together. They play unselfishly. They get everybody else involved. Joe Harris is so important to what they do. Landry Shamet. They're really, really, really a good, fun team. And across the river, the Knicks are entertaining as well. Again, one game under 500. They scored 140 points yesterday. That's not what they're going to do against a team that can actually defend. Sacramento can't defend. They
not only that.
Guard a wall.
Not only that. If you're getting point output like that from, if you're getting 25 points a night from Burks and Quickly, well, then that changes your whole conversation, Michael, about what this team is. But that's not realistic. That's not, last night was crazy. 24 from Burks, 25 from Quickly, 21 from Randall, 18 from Rose, by the way, who was 7 for 11 from the floor. That's just, it was fantastic, but how often are we going to get that?
Now
I'm throwing cold water. God, I'm just like you.
Yeah, you know, I rub off on people. Now, one thing that we kind of touched on during ENN the other day. So Kyrie Irving is pushing for the NBA logo to be changed to Kobe Bryant, which is certainly his right. But I've given this a lot of thought, and people that listen to the show know how I was really affected by the death of Kobe. The fact that he's sitting next to his daughter, the whole thing, it still haunts me. And Kobe was a great player, a five-time champion. But I don't understand the rush or the need to change the NBA logo to Kobe's silhouette and take away one of the most iconic sports logos in all of sports. The mm-hmm. NBA logo is pristine. It really is. So, yeah, we're all brokenhearted the way Kobe died. And there's a generation of players right now that revere Kobe. But are we putting the best player on there? Because if it's the best player, it shouldn't be Jerry West. He's one of the best players. He's not the best player. It should be Kareem Skyhook. It should be Magic Johnson. And really, let's be honest, it should be Michael Jordan's Jumpman logo, which is a Jumpman logo, and you probably couldn't afford to put it as the NBA logo. I don't get it. Here's what Kyrie said. Kobe Bryant, period, logo, period, yes, needs to happen. I don't care what anyone thinks. Well, I don't think it needs to happen. I don't think it should happen. He's not the best player in NBA history. He's a terrific player, a transcendent player, and his death is agonizing the way it came down. But I got to tell you, why does that make him the logo? Now, the NBA Players Association, they actually have a logo. Change the logo to Kobe's silhouette, if that's what you so choose. I don't believe the NBA should change their logo to Kobe Bryant. It's not right. He's not the best player in NBA history. I mean, get a silhouette of Bill Russell.
But neither is Jerry.
I get it. So, but what's the purpose of making Kobe the guy then? Why is it somebody else?
So here's my response to you. And I have a caveat here. I believe, unfortunately, Kobe will end up being a non-starter because of his past. The Colorado thing, while we have, and that is the alleged rape in Colorado, while you have every right to see Kobe, as I do, as someone who, we're not sure what happened there. We know it was something not good, adultery at the least, something much worse at the worst. You have the right to forgive him, and you have the right to believe that he was a better person when he was 41 years old. But I think that will ultimately be a non-starter when you talk about the logo of the league. If you are to remove that from the conversation, which probably won't happen, I disagree with you, Michael, because I think it's not about being the greatest player in the league, because Jerry West has never been argued to be the greatest player in the league.
Right.
I believe it's about influence. And Kobe Bryant, being the way that we did lose him, is so impactful on the players who played with him, the players who are playing now, and the players who will be playing for future generations, that I believe Kobe will loom larger than players who are better than him. He will now loom larger than basically almost anyone.
But he will not loom larger than Michael Jordan. Why wasn't there a move to make Michael Jordan the logo?
I mean, I'm not sure.
Because you can argue whether Michael's the best. But influential, there's so many people that love basketball because of Michael Jordan.
But that's not the NBA logo. It's the Jordan brand logo. It's a brand.
But I get you can recreate some kind of Jordan logo. But what's the urge to change it from Jerry West?
I think we're just looking at it the wrong way. Forget how Jerry West ended up being the logo. He became the logo, and now that logo is iconic.
Agreed.
So changing that could end up being a problem just because of how iconic the logo is. I mean, as soon as you see that, you know it's NBA. You know how long it will take? Even as significant as Kobe is, for like the eyes to just make the adjustment that's the NBA. So why would you shake up something that really works for you? But ultimately, it's this. And I'm not going to mention a player's name because I don't want anything to get hooked back up in the future. But let's say a significant player to Kobe's talent level, to Kobe's influence level, over the next 20 to 25 years, dies under similar circumstances. We can change the logo again?
Mm. Yeah, I listen, nobody's taking away how tragic it is. And, right. and as I said, it's heartbreaking. That doesn't mean that you change the logo, a logo that no one has ever had a problem with. And I know what people are going to say that want the logo change. Jerry West is very shy. And he's actually like mortified about the logo. He said if they ever wanted to change it. No, but that we're not asking Jerry West about this. I don't understand why it has to be Kobe. It can't be because of the terrible way he passed away. Nobody ever said, they're not equal players, Drazen Petrovic or something like that. People pass away in awful, awful ways. There's no, and Kobe was a great player, but no one was more transcendent than Michael. And nobody has ever said, let's change the logo to Michael.
But circumstances,
let's change the logo to LeBron.
But circumstances do change things.
But what he had a horrific passing?
Yes, that impacts
that
people.
Makes you the logo?
You could argue that Notorious B.I.G. would have always been one of the greatest rappers. Biggie would have been always considered one of the greatest rappers of all time. But now he's basically uniformly called the greatest of all time, partially because the work he did, like Kobe, makes him in that category. But the other part is the way people miss him because he's gone. But those things have impact.
But it doesn't have to be changed. All right? There's so many other ways he could be honored. So many other ways.
Did they name the MVP in the All-Star game after him?
And again, like I said, are we going to do this every time something similar happens? I hope it never happens again. But you know how it is in the world. I mean, something happens 25 years from now. You're going to change the logo? Because now you've changed it. So are you going to change it again? As you brought up, Colorado probably ends that. And then if you go to another player, you know, and something else happens, it doesn't need to be changed. There's so many other ways. That's the logo. You know, changing a logo is pretty, pretty drastic.
But I don't think the reason to not change it is simply because it's the logo.
No, but I don't think the reason to change it is because of the way somebody passed.
But this is not as if Yo-Yo Bumchuck passed and they're changing the logo. This was already a guy who was an absolute international icon of the game.
Did anybody in Major League Baseball, decide that when Roberto Clemente died on a mercy mission, and he was a great player, that they would change the Major League logo to Roberto Clemente?
No, but would that have been would you have been that opposed to it?
Well, I'm not saying I would be opposed or not. I just don't think that that's the thing that should spur you to change. You know, but to Irving's credit, he's not saying all of this. He said he understands that his proposition doesn't appeal to anyone. Quote, I know that it probably was met with some people that love it, that love the idea, and some people that don't love it. But my thing is paying homage to the example that has been set by that man. A lot of people set good examples.
Right.
It's quite clear that Bryant was a very respected figure by players around the world, and this is a really serious thing that should be considered by the league. I think he deserves it, Irving said. I think his family deserves it. I think we deserve it as seeing greatness personified as Mamba, and anyone that's coming into the league should know that that's the example that was set.
All right, but then that's also ignoring Colorado.
That's going to be the private conversation that he ends up having with the league.
And then this is the real shame of the legacy, Peter, because you want to say that he paid his dues or whatever. There are still people that are sickened by it, okay? I still get tweets from people whenever we bring up Kobe reminding us of what happened in Denver 20-something years ago.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, he was not found guilty, though. I mean, he settled.
Right, but
he was not found guilty.
No,
absolutely.
Guilty.
But the whole thing is, so you don't think if the NBA changed the logo to that wouldn't be talked about?
Of course it would.
And is that fair? I mean, you're doing it to honor somebody, and now all the conversation's going to be is, I can't believe the NBA put Kobe on there and what he did in Denver. Let's leave it well enough alone. There's a plenty of other things that you can honor the guy for. That's got to be the supreme honoring, like changing the logo. And it really just sets a precedent where, like I said, what are you going to do 20, 30 years from now when something similar happens again? It's just going to be a revolving door?
You know, Stephen Lockhart on Twitter goes, does Kyrie feel the same way about the logo if, in fact, Kobe didn't pass? And I don't think he would. Nobody would be clamoring for Kobe Bryant to be the logo if he was still with us. So just because of the way somebody passes, that makes them the again, I know it's very dangerous territory. I don't want to sound like I'm insulting Kobe. I'm not.
Right. I just don't
believe that, but this is call for a logo change.
I understand. I have no problem with someone not being in favor of it. But you're minimizing the idea of just because someone great passes away, do you change a thing for Reagan National Airport? Every airport, every bridge, everything gets named after people after they die.
And he has the All-Star Game trophy named after him.
I understand, but I can understand why the argument would be that's not big enough.
He'd literally be the face of the league.
He would become the face of the league.
Well, it's not really the face of the league because Jerry West isn't the face of the league. It's a silhouette.
Jerry West is called the logo.
Because he is the logo. But guess what? But then Kobe would be called the logo.
But here,
I mean, with all due respect, who cares about Jerry West? He had a great run. He was the logo for 40-some years. And so Kobe could be it for the next 50 years. I'm not saying they should do it. Again, I think they'll run into trouble and won't be able to do it. But to simply say we don't want to do it because you can't because Jerry's called the logo, Kobe would be called the logo.
No, I'm not saying because of Jerry. I don't think that this is a reason to change the logo of the league.
There's plenty of ways. If you wanted to change the O'Brien trophy to his name, I mean, there's plenty of ways you can honor him. But when you bring up the analogy of, like, well, Reagan passes away, they change an airport. Well, they don't change the flag. This is the NBA's flag. It's their logo.
Fair.
You know, listen, as great as Kobe was and as great as he was for the game, and he certainly got up from the controversy what happened in Denver and what he meant to women's basketball and the father that he became, he certainly got a second chance and ran with it maybe more than anybody else in the history of anything, okay? I'm all for honoring him. But does it have to be the supreme honoring in the sport? Because that's what the logo change would be. And I don't know when they made Jerry West the logo whether they understood the significance of what they were doing at the time. But 50 years later, it has become their flag.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll take some phone calls. I'll tell you why I'm upset at some people at the station. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now let's get right to the phones, everybody. 1-800-919-3776. So this is Paul where? In White Plains? Is that it?
I believe it's Stench in Mamaroneck.
Paul?
No. Oh, very nice. What's up? White Plains. Yeah, you got me, guys?
Yes.
Okay, I'm 44. I'm a little furious right now. Love you guys. I'm 44 years old. So the basketball I watched, I even ranked Kobe second, right behind Michael, because of his killer instinct. He had that Michael in him. I don't compare him to Michael. But to skip over Michael to make Kobe the emblem, no way. There's no way. And I love Kobe. I think he's the last great basketball athlete that was coachable compared to these clowns today that are asking for superstars to join them. They pick their coaches. And I still don't think that Kobe should be there. First of all, I have another question. Who is the baseball one and who's the NHL one? Is it anybody we know?
No, but NBA is different because Jerry West is someone we know.
Yeah,
well, I think baseball is either Carl Yastrzemski or Harmon Killebrew.
Right, and football don't have
okay.
Yeah, the NFL is just the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is the Shield. But right. And Kyrie, of all people, that is not the best example. I know he said you don't have to listen to me, but he's fighting for that. But I think they should stop talking. He should stop talking. I'm sorry about that. I get you can have an opinion.
You know what gets me too, Paul? Now that he's brought it up, right, publicly, like the public has nothing to do with it. If they don't make the change, it looks like the NBA is dissing Kobe Bryant. I think it's wrong to put them in that situation.
Well, it's going to be an awkward conversation if it hasn't happened yet. When Adam Silver or someone else calls Kyrie and says, hey, this is why we can't have this guy be the logo. And Kyrie goes, oh. And then it's like, how would we explain that? How would they explain when every group in the world steps up and protests it? And they have reason to, whether I love Kobe or not. Like, that's just the bottom line. They're not going to be able to do it. You know, Mike Tyson's not going to be able to hold certain positions in boxing because of what's been alleged about him, in his case, convicted. So it's no matter what you think of the person, and it's just going to be, I think it's going to be impossible.
Now, this stuff I hate. I shouldn't even give it any traction, but Terrell Tuosto writes, the reason LeGrec and Kay are getting so worked up about the logo change, because it's a change of the old guard, the old white guard. The logo must be a player who reflects the demographic of the league. If not Kobe, then another great black player. You know what? Shut up. Not everything is black and white.
Well, don't race bait us, okay?
Yeah.
That's why I'm really upset you even brought it up.
You think that's what this is about? Turn the radio off. Don't ever listen to us again.
Come on, please.
You should know us better the way we've talked about issues. Take a walk.
The guys
has nothing
arguing
to do with black and white. I'm saying that Jordan
should be Jordan.
Jordan should be the guy. Last time I checked, he's black. You don't know what you're talking about. Not everything is black and white, people. Stop it. Not everything is black and white. Not everything is because of color. I don't think that Kobe Bryant should be the logo. I don't care if he's green.
Well, Jordan's not going to be the logo, as I've said. His logo is too synonymous with simply him, and they wouldn't do another logo. Like, you're right. If there is one player who simply based on play, we go, this is the definition of the NBA, everyone knows that name is Michael Jordan. But it would never happen because of his
well, how
his
about
own
Kareem
branding.
Abdul-Jabbar, a socially conscious guy? His skyhook silhouette would be so recognizable. You know who it was right away? Much better player. Much more iconic.
Well, I wouldn't go much better.
He's better.
They're in the same room. They're having dinner at the same table. That table of top five, they're all sitting around together having a drink one day.
I don't know. Then
well,
you know
it's
what?
It's all debatable. And the guy that's the logo is not even in the conversation. So
And yes, West is not.
The greatest representative of this league is Bill Russell. Put the 11 rings on the logo. That could be the logo. Bill Russell should be honored, not Kobe Bryant.
First of all, like I said, the NBA and the NHL just has a shield. So it's just the Major League Baseball and the NBA decided to use the silhouette of a player at the time that they came up with the logo. They probably didn't even put that much thought into it. All right? And that's just the way that it ends up being. And then it becomes iconic. And a guy had a arguing me on Twitter saying, it's not a flag, it's a logo. All companies have logos. Yeah, but this is one of the biggest companies in the world internationally, and it is their flag. It represents their brand. That logo means a lot.
Let's go to Kevin in the Bronx. Kevin.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good. How are you,
Kevin?
Just wanted to say, Michael, I agree with you about changing a logo. I don't think they should. I'm 29 years old, so I grew up on a tail end of Jordan's career. And, yeah, I do agree if they were going to change the logo, it should be Jordan. But like I said, growing up, you know, after Jordan, when I was in grade school, middle school, it was all Kobe and Shaq. Everyone loved Kobe. He was very cultural. So, unfortunately, I would say the situation of how he died, yeah, that would be the reason to. And I agree that, yes, that's not a reason to change something because of someone's death. But because of Kobe, of who he was and what he meant to society, like, I don't know.
One second, Kevin. Let me stop. What did Kobe mean to society? Well, I'd like to know. What did he mean to society?
Well, growing up, so when I became a fan of sports, I didn't really know anyone except for Kobe and Shaq. Kobe and Shaq. Yeah, I knew Jordan, but that was just because he came out with
I get it. So you loved him as a player, but what exactly did Kobe Bryant mean to society? I'd like to know. I'm teetering on this because I'm not showing disrespect to a guy who died in a horrible way, but what did he mean to society? What am I missing?
Well, no, I don't think he means what he meant as a social justice leader or anything like that. I think he means in terms of how synonymous Kobe was with basketball.
Yeah, like, but that's different than what he meant to society.
All right.
I mean,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's meant a lot more to society than most professional athletes.
Agreed. Same with Bill Russell.
But now Jeannie Buss has gotten involved. I agree with Vanessa Bryant. Kobe set a standard and players agree too. Let me know what you think, because Vanessa Bryant agrees with Kyrie that Kobe should be the logo. Of course she should. That's her husband.
This is going to get into a very uncomfortable conversation. Because, unfortunately, when people have a history, you know, in the immediacy of their passing, you may not think about that as much because you're thinking about the best things that they were, as I think is appropriate. But when you start getting into permanency as a logo, you have to look at the whole picture. And it's just not going to happen. And I think there are a lot of people listening right now who at the beginning of the conversation probably felt differently, but when they remember the whole picture go, oh, yeah, that's just not going
to
work.
But even – it's very difficult to put aside, but putting Denver aside, so is now it just going to be a transient, like the next great player passes away, we're going to change it again?
Here's where I disagree.
God forbid if something happened to LeBron. We're going to change the logo to LeBron?
But the thing is, that is such a what-if scenario. This happened, and when it happened, the world stopped. I mean, I don't think any of us would have guessed the level to which the world would have stopped if that had happened to Kobe. And it did, and the world did stop. And as a result, for the next 20 years of basketball players, kids are going to come up immortalizing Kobe even more than he already was. And he was already the hero of half the players in the league right now.
It's so odd, though, Peter. You read the same book as me. His teammates hated him on the Lakers.
But that's not about his
teammates. So, yeah, he grew into a different person. But, I mean, there were a generation of people that didn't like him.
Yeah, but what about Jordan's teammates? Many of them weren't fond of him either.
But many of them were fond of him. It didn't seem like anybody was fond on the Lakers, not even Phil Jackson.
Well, that's in 2000, but we talked to Julius Randle last week who loved him.
Right. Because the second Kobe generation, a different guy.
Yeah, the second part of his career, he was definitively a different guy. I mean, we didn't hear from Rip Hamilton in the Jordan documentary. I don't know what the later players and teammates thought of him, but many of them did not like Jordan. I don't think you can base it on that. You have to base it on influence. But the fact of the matter is, this is complex because every other league, there's not one player associated. Jerry West, it's funny. You grow up as a kid, You don't even know Jerry West is the logo unless you really know basketball.
Well, Barton Hahn brought up a great point. The two guys that saved the league from having a finals that were on tape delay are Magic and Bird. Make them the logo. Make the two of them the logo.
There are certainly a lot of players who would be at least as worthy, if not more, than Kobe. But I don't think you can rule out how impactful his tragic death was. And it doesn't surprise me. I've seen it in music forever. People who pass away in a tragic way, the way that they impact people is different. It's just how it is to me.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm going to trash somebody on the station.
Nice.
When we come back, right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, DCR is our morning show from 5 to 8. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Now, everybody knows I'm fond of Rick DiPietro, and he's fond of me. Mm-hmm. We don't have to explain anything. But Dave Rothenberg now took it to a place that I need to address. And here's what Rothenberg said on the show today.
Did you hear Kay yesterday? Oh, he's a gorgeous man.
Yeah, he put a lot on that one now.
A gorgeous man.
Gorgeous, with heavy with the G.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Show me the lie.
I know that Chris certainly doesn't like that. Chris is very uncomfortable with that conversation.
I'm not going to sit around and call another grown man gorgeous or delicious. But, I mean, listen, Rick is easy on the eyes. Rick is easy on the eyes.
Oh! Well, look what we stumbled upon here.
You want me to take this shirt off while I do the show?
Please don't.
It's up to you guys.
Please don't.
And it goes on and on where you know, Rothenberg can't deal with the show anymore. You know what? Grow up. If two people like each other, it shouldn't be your problem. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to lay it out for you why it is the way it is. Sorry. Learn to live with it. Two people like each other.
Yeah, but
you too, Don, you're problematic with this as well.
Well, because you make it public, so why can't it be analyzed like everything else that's made public? That's what this show's about. This is the foundation.
But you can't. You're not analyzing. You're just sitting there and going, I don't understand why it is.
Here's my opinion. That if Rick DiPietro was homely and poor, Michael would have nothing to do with him.
Fair.
And he could be the exact same human being that he is right now. If he was a plumber and he was homely, you'd have nothing to do with him. And that is a fact.
No, it's not.
Absolutely fact.
No, what if it was a really hot-looking plumber? I wouldn't have anything to do with him?
No. No, I don't think you would.
You know what? Is Rick leaving me money in his will? And I believe that Rick is going to outlive me because he's a lot younger than me. Why do I care about Rick's money? I don't get it. Don, that's such a terrible take. Why do I care about Rick's money?
I don't know why. We don't know.
So
both of you just say that it just can't be, but you don't have a reason why. You make stuff up, and it's insulting to both of us.
No, I don't have a problem with you being friends with him. You have more of a problem with me being friends with Dan Grasso, which is like a normal friendship.
Correct.
And you just manalize him constantly and talk about it, fawn over him, and I'm not supposed to have a problem with your relationship?
Unless you're uncomfortable in your own skin, why do you have a problem with our relationship?
Why do you have a problem with Dan and I's relationship?
Because that's
a perfectly normal relationship.
You two don't fit together at all. Nothing.
But it's the exact opposite, though.
Oh, they do fit together?
Of course they do.
How?
Because they're two regular guys who love sports. They're from a similar world, and that's that.
So why don't Rick and I, why can't we get along?
Because you're not in similar worlds. You're not close in age. Your interest, you don't have the same interest.
You and Dan aren't close in age
either.
He's
a hockey guy who's a Met fan and a Jet fan. You're not even a fan of teams anymore. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it doesn't have to, because that sort of stuff
doesn't have to be explained. That's fine. But you talk about the main reason why you are great friends with him is because you think he's gorgeous, which, again, is fine.
I have never said that.
But it's the main thing you compliment.
Get me a clip of that. I said yesterday, we were talking about, got around the looks. I said, Rick is a gorgeous looking guy. And as he said on that clip, what did I say that was wrong? He better look at anybody on the station.
But why do you have to talk about it so much?
I can talk about whatever I want. Talk about things I don't want
but
you then, to
but
talk
now
about.
It just seems to me like it's not really a friendship. It's an attraction, which I have no problem with, Michael. Do what you got to do. I mean, you got a marriage. You got to try to work your way through. But you do you. But I just never heard anybody say that the main reason why they're friendly with somebody
never
is because
said that.
They're attracted.
But
that's all you ever compliment him on. Is
I have
looks.
Never said that. I've complimented on the guy that he is.
After you're pressed, after you talk about how gorgeous he is.
I don't even
tell you how great a guy Dan is. I just tell you I'm friends with the guy. And you're like, I don't understand. How do you not understand that I have a friend?
I just don't get
you don't get the Stark brothers. You don't get you don't get like normal, healthy relationships with people.
Your relationship with the Stark brothers is far from normal and healthy, but let's not get into that.
Michael, it's weird. It's obsessive. It's problematic. It's not anyone having a problem with you judging a man. It's that why would that be such a high criteria, such a thing?
It's not. I commented on it. Well, Steve Brzezinski listens to the show all the time. Wait, he said. Didn't Don say he'd make some random dude's year with the best makeout session of his life? Now you're ripping me?
Well, that's he just helped Don's argument. That speaks to how comfortable Don is in his own skin. What he doesn't have a problem with the fact that you're clearly attracted to Rick DiPietro. He has a problem with the fact that that's all you focus on.
First of all, I didn't say I was attracted to him. I said he's a great-looking guy. I'm not attracted to him. That's not how I roll.
You said it more than once. You've said it 40 times.
But it seems like it is the greatest quality
that Rick has, according to you.
No, you're fitting your narrative, and you're wrong.
How am I fitting? That's all you talk about with the guy.
That is not all I talk about. You guys can say whatever you want to me. You're like brothers. Dave Rothenberg, keep my name out of your mouth, okay?
Wow.
He just wants to know what's going on.
No, because he's a jealous mule. That's what he is.
Oh,
because he can't have the same relationship with the guy that's on his show.
I'm gonna say what it is, okay? Mike Brownsher is a terrific human being, just as good a guy as Rick is. Okay.
Not really.
Works just
snur.
As hard
Rick's
as Rick, just as talented as Rick. But you know what? You describe him as a melted candle. You don't want anything to do with the guy because he makes no money and he's not good looking to you. You're not friends with him.
I've never been more insulted by anybody than what you're
doing
right
now.
Listen,
if the insults are facts, then you have to analyze yourself.
I like Mike Brownsher a lot. And the fact that he looks like a melted candle does not affect that.
Wow.
I don't like the fact that he's a snur. If
now, Dave is just
to
as talented,
had,
if not
there.
More so than Rick.
By the way, you want to know the funniest thing, Don? You ready for a take that Michael's going to argue against?
Yeah.
He's better friends with Brownsher than he is Rick. And all he does is show disrespect to Brownsher.
That's our relationship.
Isn't Dave talented?
Dave
isn't
who?
Dave a really good guy?
Dave who?
See?
Ooh, Rothenberg is dead to me.
Yeah. Well, that's easy
after
to be dead
today?
To you because you know what? There's no physical attraction there.
That's all.
So it's
about.
Easy to discard these people like Brownsher and Rothenberg because there's no attraction. There's
first
an attraction
all,
with Rick.
First
just
all,
own it, man. That's all.
Dave, listen, Brownsher has he's one of the great schnurrers of all time. He has schnurred his way into the good graces of some of the richest families in New York City. He is not a poor guy. And Bex just tweeted, I think Don and Peter are wrong. Mike and Rick have similar senses of humor and personalities, and I'm not surprised they click.
Well, I'm shocked.
But how often do you guys get together?
I haven't seen anybody other than Jody and the kids in 13 months.
But even when you could, how often did you get together?
Because our relationship transcends that.
Yeah, transcends.
That's weird. Got a text from my brother, Peter.
Go ahead.
Peter is wearing the greatest shirt ever, all in capital letters.
Boy, there's some people just to the right of me that don't feel that way.
Just to the right of you? You mean sitting to the right of you?
Yeah, just sitting to the right of me, yeah.
This is the Nation of Domination. What a great song, too.
So somebody, I don't care about you, right? So somebody, claimed that it was something that it wasn't, and I answered back on Twitter, clapped back, and then people, like, jumped him as well. Never answered back. I said, hey, lighten up. His name was Mike. I said, it's a WWE shirt. Never said, oh, I'm sorry. No, couldn't do that. Just wanted to throw his accusations out there, and then when you actually call him on it and tell him the truth, he just slunked away into the corner, into his own urine.
I have to admit something about your brother right now.
My brother?
No. You don't have a brother. Don, your brother, Dave. Dave, who I am very fond of, and I follow him on Twitter. Actually, I don't follow him on Instagram. I don't know if he's a big grammar, but I follow him on Twitter and am avidly involved in his tweets. He's been posting a different wrestling shirt every day.
Yeah.
But, like, the wrestling shirts that he posts, because he's not, like, a vintage snob, are just, like, random shirts that he's gotten, you know, over the years. I have to acknowledge that I look down at them every single time. I hold back from retweeting him back and saying, why did you post this?
I think people are sending it to him. I don't think that's a collection.
It should be Dave LaGreca's free merch collection.
Oh, by the way, Monday there'll be a new That's a LaGreca Show on LaGreca TV on YouTube.
What's the theme?
New Jersey.
Oh my God. This is...
My brother kind of started a rivalry with South Jersey, so we might be in a civil war here.
By the way, you should get Springsteen for this episode. He's podcasting these days anyway, I hear.
Rick and I are thinking about doing a podcast together as well.
What's it called?
Beauty and the Beast. 1-800-919-3776. When we come back, ENN to end the week with Peter Rosenberg right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.